The Bible has several descriptions of people living a very long life. One particular patriarch, Methuselah, lived to be 969 years of age. There were others, such as Noah, who reached the age of 950. Shem, his son, lived to be 600 years. And many of the ancient Bible figures that we read about lived well past 100 years. Now, reaching an honorable age was quite often recognized in the Bible as a divine blessing. An honorable age, a divine blessing. It was a reward for godliness and an indication of the favor that God gave to those who were faithful to his commandments. Honor and respect were part of their reward for being faithful. Even in the ancient world, in general, there was a certain amount of respect that was given to those who were advanced in years, and respect to parents. In fact, the ancient world considered duty to parents extremely important. For instance, talking about the ancient world, in ancient Greece, their law took away all rights from the man who struck his parents, and they considered neglect of parents as disrespectful. Also in ancient Rome, to strike a father in Roman law was as bad as murder. Speaking of the ancient world, in ancient Israel, to care for one's elderly parents was the basic element of social responsibility. Caring and honor for father and mother was so very, very important. Of course, that's the way things were thought of anciently. Today, in our world today, we can see a general breakdown of that kind of care and respect for parents. One of the signs of the last days, the days before the return of Jesus Christ, is the breakdown of the family relationship and the honor and duty that connected them together. Please turn with me to the book of Micah, Micah chapter 7, to begin the sermon this afternoon. Micah chapter 7, towards the end of the Old Testament. And Micah was given a vision of society's breakdown, especially in the last days, the days before the return of Jesus Christ. Most likely, this particular vision that Micah was given was during the reign of King Hezekiah. And Israel, the ancient Israel, had already gone into captivity. This is a prophecy of the last days before the return of Jesus Christ. Micah chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse number 1. And you'll notice that it begins with a woe. Micah shouts, "Woe is me," because he has this vision of the way society is in the future. Micah chapter 7, and verse number 1, he says, "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes." Now, when he's talking about gathering and harvesting the fruit here, it's a figure of people. It's a people being gathered together. "I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes, and there is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires." So Micah is describing this particular harvest as being done, and the desirable or righteous fruit is gone. The righteous people are gone, in other words. Continuing on in this prophecy of the last days, verse number 2, "The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men." The faithful man has perished because society had broken down, and there was no one to be found that was upright. "They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net." And verse number 3, "that they may successfully do evil with both hands." What a description of society. Everyone involved in evil. And it says with both hands, like full tilt into evil. Now this parallels Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus Christ talked about the end of the age and his imminent return, and that it would be like the days of Noah. And what's the description of the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 6? That there was wickedness throughout the earth, and there was nothing but evil in the thought and intents of the heart of men in those days. And that's the description that we have here in what we're reading. That they may successfully do evil with both hands. Then it describes the leadership, both the physical and the spiritual leadership of that time, of this time coming. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks a bribe. And the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them, verse 4, is like a briar. You know, something sharp that you don't even want to touch. The most upright, supposedly upright, is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman, or judgment, the day of your watchman judgment, and your punishment comes because of all the evil found in society. And the last part of verse number 4, now shall be their perplexity. Perplexity because they do not know what to do, spiritually speaking. People should have been alert, but no one had been taught and listened to God. Verse number 5, do not put your trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth. You know, watch what comes out of your mouth, in other words, for her who lies in your bosom. Sin will have become so prevalent that normal relationships are out of whack, and no one would trust one another. Then we come to verse number 6, and it begins with this word for. And most often when we see this word for beginning a verse, it's kind of a setup for a summary reflecting back to the section that we just read. So in this summary, verse 6, for son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own household. This here parallels 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. I'm not going to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, one of the characteristics of the last days is being disobedient to parents. And we're seeing that more and more in today's world, and it's going to get worse. So what we have just read here in this section of Micah chapter 7 is a warning of the breakdown of society, especially when proper respect is not shown to elders, as pointed out in verse number 6. A breakdown of society to the point of much oppression, combined with a lack of respect by elders for children. And in our world, it's becoming more and more prevalent. Technology is not helping. Instead of children looking to parental guidance for wisdom and help, they take it to or look it up on the tablet, the phone, or the computer. So what we've been talking about here, or what I've been talking about in this sermon so far, is the breaking of a particular commandment that's core for society that is out of control. And I'm talking about the breaking of the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is the commandment that gives us a building block to better relations with each other as human beings. And because of that breakdown of society and in the lack of respect for elders, disobedient to parents, it's just one of the characteristics of the last days, and society is going to get worse and worse. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we'll look at this fifth commandment. Of course, Exodus chapter 20 is the chapter where the children of Israel, those who had escaped the slavery of Egypt by God's mighty hand and his power, they had made their way to Mount Sinai. And when they were at Mount Sinai, God inspired Moses to deliver the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. And verse number 12 is the fifth commandment. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. And we read, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother is this important fifth commandment. And this is a building block, a building block for better relations with one another. Better relations with one another. The title of today's sermon is Fulfilling the Fifth Commandment, Honor Your Father and Mother. Fulfilling the Fifth Commandment, Honor Your Father and Mother. Today, let's examine why the Fifth Commandment is so important to all of mankind. It's important to everybody on this earth, and it's going to be super, super important in the future, and it's going to be taught. And because it's going to be taught, there's going to be a better society under peace with Christ ruling. So this Fifth Commandment is important to all mankind, and it's vital to our society and to normal relationships. In the sermon today, we will see that there is a way for us and for everyone to fulfill the Fifth Commandment in our lives. There is a way for us to fulfill the Fifth Commandment in our lives, and for everyone as well. And we'll also see why it is so vital that we are able to teach the importance of this commandment. You know, the Bible talks about the shepherds in the future that are going to be helping lead the world, helping Jesus Christ in the future when Christ returns the second time. And these shepherds are going to be teachers. They're going to be leaders. They're going to be guiding people. And that building block to have a better society of peace in the kingdom. This fifth commandment is going to be taught. And it's vital for us to learn the importance of this commandment. Many of the problems that we experience in our society today stems from the fact that this commandment has not been taught nor understood by humanity, especially in the world that we live in today. So we need to be able to teach this today and also in the future. When we talk about the fifth commandment, we're talking about respecting authority and building strong families. And it stems from this commandment. The fifth commandment is the glue to building a strong, godly-based society. We actually have a booklet, The Ten Commandments. I'm sure many of you have that in your library. But it stated in our booklet the following. The primary focus of the fifth commandment is the importance of learning to respect others while we are still children. The importance of learning to respect others while we are still children. And if children do not learn to respect their parents as children, they won't respect anyone else either. And as a result, the whole society begins to melt down. And the other commandments go down with it as well. Killing, lying, and stealing because of a lack of respect. Understanding, now here's something very, very important as well. Understanding this commandment is not just for children. It's for all of us. And it has to be taught and understood by everyone. And that's why it's so important for all of mankind. You know, we all look forward to the day when the kingdom of God will be established. I'm sure it's part of your prayer. Your kingdom come. We need God's kingdom to come on this earth and for this world. And as in our roles as kings, priests, and teachers, this commandment will be central in teaching the right way to live, living together in peace, to respect others. Going back to verse number 12, we see the first word here is honor. So let's examine this word honor for a few moments. And I've got a couple of quotes here. The first one is from the Nelson Study Bible. It's called the New King James Study Bible that was presented to Patrick today. And it says this, honor means to treat with significance. Honor means to treat with significance. And here's another quote from Expositor's Commentary. It says, to honor is to respect, glorify, and venerate. In other words, to esteem and admire. And honor is directed to people. It comes from one person to another. And most often, honor is directed to a position. For instance, a king would receive honor. Parents receive honor. And especially God receives honor for his position as creator and ruler over all the universe. Now, this commandment here in verse number 12, honor your father and your mother, ends with a promise. But it's also a warning. It's a promise and a warning. Let's take a look at the warning first. We see here in verse number 12, for honoring your father and mother, that your days may be long on the land. Now, that's a warning. Because people who disregard their parents would not last long in the promised land. In fact, the book of Ezekiel, you can put this down in your notes, I'm not going to turn there, but in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 7 and 15, it explains that part of the reason for Israel's captivity was the failure to honor their parents. So again, it's a warning. You won't last long in the land if you don't honor your parents. But it's also a promise that your days may be long in the land. And this is the first. This is a commandment with a promise attached. To live in peace for generations in the promised land, the Israelites would need to respect authority and to build strong families. And so it's a promise. If you do respect authority, build strong families, your days will be long in the land. Let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, this was the Ten Commandments given to the original generation of Israel that came out of the slavery of Egypt by God's power. But remember, because they rebelled in the desert, they died after 40 years of wandering. It was the new generation of Israelites that would go into the promised land. And that's who Moses was giving his sermons to in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we find the Ten Commandments given to this new generation, the ones that would be going into the promised land. So the Ten Commandments are repeated here in the Bible. So let's look at this commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. And we'll notice that there's an addition here in Deuteronomy 5:16 that wasn't said in Exodus chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, again to the new generation of Israelites, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and notice this, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So it contains that warning and promise that your days may be long, but it also adds that it may be well with you. And most often when we see that phrase in Deuteronomy, that it may be well with you, it's connected with being obedient to God. Let's notice that and drop down to verse 32 and 33. Again, he's given this sermon talking about the Ten Commandments that he just had given to the new generation. Verse 32, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You know, keep steadfast in following God going forward. Verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. Speaking of the Ten Commandments that were just given. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So the phrase that it may be well with you, that makes a connection between the fifth commandment, honoring parents, and all the rest of the commandments that were given here in Exodus, in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this phrase, walk in all the ways that it may be well with you, was a promise for obedience. Obedience to God in the commandments. So the promises associated with the fifth commandment were applicable to all the Ten Commandments, which of course we keep and we honor God by doing that. Now here's another important part of this message that I want to give to you, and that is honoring parents is a form of honoring God. A very important key. Honoring parents is a form of honoring God. The very first commandment begins with worshiping God, only Him, no other gods, giving Him all the honor. And then the fifth commandment, to give honor to our parents whom God honors. And God wants that connection and keep that connection together. Let's go now to the book of Malachi. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And we're going to see in Malachi chapter 1, verse number 6, that the priests were not honoring God, the ones that were teaching, supposedly teaching God's law, and God calls them out for not honoring him. Malachi chapter 1, again the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 1 and verse number 6. And we're going to see here as we read through this the connection between the honoring of parents and honoring God. Malachi 1 and verse number 6. A son honors his father, of course the fifth commandment, and a servant his master. Then God has this question. If then I am the father, where is my honor? He asks. And if I am a master, where is my reverence? And who is he directing this to? The last part of verse number 6. Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests, who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? They despised their name because they weren't honoring God. And they were not revering God, even though they were supposed to be the teachers of God's way of life. So the connection between honor of parents here at the beginning of verse number 6 and honoring God is a very important connection. I have a comment here. This is something I found in the Jewish Study Bible. And it says this. The fifth commandment forms a bridge between duties toward God and toward humans. I think that's very, very wise and important. A bridge between duties to God and toward humans. That's what the fifth commandment does. It's very, very important. Now parents, and many of you are parents, we need to think of ourselves as children, because that's what we are. We're the children of God. And it's equally important for parents to respect, honor, and obey God as it is for children to respect, honor, and obey their parents. Again, this connection between honoring parents and honoring God is very, very vital. Let's see that in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. And you'll notice as we go through this section here how this connection is made between honoring parents and honoring God. Leviticus chapter 19, and beginning in verse number 1. Verse number 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy. Tell all the children of Israel, you shall be holy. Now, when we talk about holy, we're talking about God's character. God is holy. So he's telling the children of Israel, you should reflect my character in your lives. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Again, God is holy, and that reflects, that's God's character. And God's character is the base for all the commandments. He tells the children of Israel, you shall be holy. In other words, to mirror God's character. And the commandments must be kept. Now let's continue on in verse number 3 and notice the connection here. Every one of you shall revere his father and mother and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Now here a different word is used. Instead of honor father and mother, it's revere your father and mother. And this differs a little bit from honor. Again, a quote from the Nelson Study Bible. Revere means to respect and obey. Revere means to respect and obey. And then God adds in the last part of verse 3, and keep my Sabbaths. So here we see another linking together. Not only the first commandment and the fifth commandment, but the fourth commandment and the fifth commandment. Keeping the Sabbath and also honoring parents. We're here today keeping the Sabbath day. We keep the Sabbath to honor, respect, and worship God. That's why we're here, keeping the Sabbath. But we also are to honor our parents. And there's a link together between the fourth and fifth commandments, as God has put it here in verse number 3. So let me ask now, as we continue on in this sermon, a question. How do we, you and I, go about practicing and fulfilling the fifth commandment in a practical way so we can build strong relationships in our families and in the church, and also to teach it in the future? How can we fulfill the fifth commandment in a practical way to build our families together and to build our family in the church as well and teach it in the future? Well, I'm going to give you three keys to doing that, to fulfilling the fifth commandment. And the first one, actually, we've already been talking about, to fulfill the fifth commandment. It starts with honoring and obeying God. It starts with honoring and obeying God. Again, the bridge between the fourth and fifth commandments. We're here honoring and worshiping God today on the Sabbath. But we also are to honor our parents. And this has to be taught to have a peaceful society. You know, so many today people today don't even know anything about the Bible, about God, and God's way of life, the commandments, and they're going to have to be taught. And this is an important one, to have a peaceful society. So start practicing and fulfilling the fifth commandment starts with honoring and obeying God. Honor starts with God, giving him the honor, because he is the source of honor. Let's see that in Psalm chapter 104. Psalm chapter 104. And we're going to read verses 1 through 2. This is a psalm praising God as the creator of everything. God is the creator of all. Psalm chapter 104. And let's read verses 1 through 2. Notice how the psalmist begins praising God for his greatness and his creative works. Psalm chapter 104, verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Verse 2. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, because God is the creator of everything. Notice this phrase here in verse number 1, at the last part of verse number 4. You are clothed with honor and majesty. That's a figure ascribing God to what humans have. You know, we put on clothes. We all have clothes on here today. And this is a figure of speech ascribing honor as clothing on God. God is, the figure is, God is clothed with honor. He's full of honor and majesty. And we seek and obey him, and we give him the honor. He is the creator of all, as verse number 2 points out. He is deserving of honor, and we seek him as our great God. Here's another companion section of scripture. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, back to the sermons to the new generation of Israel, after Moses had given these Israelites the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. We come to chapter 6, and this is a section that actually I have turned to quite a bit lately. It's been on my mind, and so very, very important. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 4 through 7. And again, we're talking about practicing, fulfilling this fifth commandment, starting with honoring and obeying God. Verse number 4 of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In other words, seeking God diligently, loving him and giving him that honor. Verse number 6, and these words, which he's talking about the Ten Commandments that were given in chapter 5, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. The commandments to be in Israel's heart, in all of our hearts, keeping them and putting God first. And when we honor God and we keep the commandments and put him first, It leads to something else very practical in society. And we read about that in verse number 7. You shall teach them, referring to the commandments, diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So teaching obedience and honor to God in all the family. And that's what we are instructed to do. And when we do that, it leads to a more moral society and a peaceful society. Teaching honor and loving obedience in the family relationship, very, very important. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. This is a section written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. And it's a section on family relationships. It actually has a title to it. And the title is simply Children and Parents. Section on family relationships. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And you'll notice how Paul is going to quote from sections that we have already read today. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Apostle Paul writing says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse number 2. Honor your father and your mother. Of course, one of the fifth commandment. And that word honor reflects back to the word obey in verse number 1. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Remember, if you keep that fifth commandment of honoring your parents, you will live long in the promised land. And you'll live a long life. Which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. Quoting again Deuteronomy, that it may be well with you, connected with obedience to God. And then notice verse number 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So here we see that children are to be taught by the parents. But the fathers and the parents are not to provoke their children to wrath, but to lovingly bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Here's another quote from the Nelson Study Bible. It says this, This paragraph has the beautiful balance we expect to find in God's Word. Children are to obey their parents, and parents are to treat children in such a way that the children will want to obey. I think that says it very, very beautifully. A balance in God's word. Children are to obey their parents, and parents are to treat their children in such a way that children will want to obey. So as a way of fulfilling this fifth commandment, it starts with honoring God. Honoring God and honoring our parents, and teaching honor and loving obedience in the family relationship. A second key to practicing and fulfilling the fifth commandment is practicing humility. Practicing humility. Because humility is a way to honor others. To honor father and mother, one must be humble. Let's see that in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And we're going to read verse number 33. This is a proverb that's actually repeated because it's so important. Proverbs chapter 15, or part of the proverb is repeated, I should say. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 33. The second key to practicing and fulfilling the fifth commandment is practicing humility. Verse 33 of Proverbs 15. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And notice this. And before honor is humility. Before one can receive honor, humility is involved. Humility is a ready way to honor. And humility is connected with fearing the Lord. But it must precede the honor. And actually, Jesus Christ sums up this scripture. He was humble before he was honored. He humbled himself to the point that he died for all of our sins. He humbled himself in that way. And yet he's honored. He's at the right hand of the Father with honor and glory. He was humble before he was honored. Let's go to where it's repeated in Proverbs 18, just a page or so forward. Proverbs 18 and verse number 12. The first part of verse number 12 is talking about a person that's proud. Verse number 12, before destruction of the heart, a man is haughty or proud. And here it's repeated, and before honor is humility. So this is a contrast verse, a contrast between pride and humility. One who is proud wants to honor himself. But again, humility precedes honor. And humility is something that we need to develop so that we can practice the fifth commandment. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This time we'll read from the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Rome. And he's speaking of relationships and getting along with each other. So very important. And as we teach people, as we shepherd in the kingdom, we're going to have to build and teach them of the necessary steps to get along with each other. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. The Apostle Paul writing, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. We as humans, quite often, unfortunately, tend to look at and prefer ourselves. But we must look at our brother. That's what the Apostle Paul is admonishing. Notice this phrase at the beginning of verse number 10, kindly affectionate. That comes from a Greek word which means family affection. Family affection. And this can be proved and shown by humbling ourselves and showing love to one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And Christ proved that by humbling himself and washing the feet of the disciples. He did the job of a servant. And again, he's at the right hand of God and is honored above all. We go through this in the Passover service. The first part of the Passover service is the foot washing service, where Christ instructed us to wash one another's feet, because we humble ourselves by doing that, doing the job of a servant. He says in John 13:15, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, to humble ourselves. And we do that. Here's an interesting quote from the Hastings Bible Dictionary about this word humility. Hastings Bible Dictionary regarding humility says this: genuine humility leads the strong to serve the weak. Let me repeat that. Genuine humility leads the strong to serve the weak. And that's actually the opposite of what humanity has done throughout the ages. You know, the powerful, the ones that get into positions of rulership, the kings, and, you know, going back throughout history, and whoever has had those leadership positions, they want others to serve them. Generally speaking, that has happened throughout the world. But genuine humility leads the strong to serve the weak. I'm not going to go there, but in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, speaking of Christ, Revelation 4:11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. And Christ was humble before he was honored, and he served mankind by giving his very life for all of us, for the forgiveness of our sins. And that word served leads me to the third key for fulfilling the fifth commandment. The third way to fulfill the fifth commandment is serving one another with honor and love. Serving one another with honor and love. And again, Christ fulfilled this for all of us. I looked up the word honor in Vine's dictionary, Vine's dictionary of Old Testament and New Testament words, and here's what it says about the word honor. Giving honor refers to doing something. I think that's very interesting. Giving honor refers to doing something. Doing something for someone else. Another way to put it is serving one another. And of course, Christ taught that very, very important principle of serving one another. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, talking about this third way to fulfill the fifth commandment, serving one another in honor and love, and learning to do that in the family relationship, of course. Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 35 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse number 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, verse 35, asked him, Christ, a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him in verse 37, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, quoting Deuteronomy, which we read earlier. This is the first and great commandment. Again, giving honor and obedience to God, what we talked about earlier. Verse 39, And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This time quoting the book of Leviticus. Verse 40, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Notice here he says in verse 39, And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is going to be critical as we teach people in the kingdom and people are taught in the kingdom so that there will be peace in the kingdom. Loving your neighbor as yourself. To practice loving one another through serving them. And we can be examples of that today, not only in our lives, but in our families as well. Practice loving one another through serving one another. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, just a few pages back. Matthew chapter 19. This time we're going to read verses 16 through 22. And Christ quotes several commandments here that have to do with treating one another fairly and ethically. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse number 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? In other words, he was asking Christ, what can I do? What kind of service act can I perform or what can I do so that I can have eternal life? Very important question. So Christ answered in verse 17, Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And this particular individual thought, well, I've been keeping all the commandments. But there was something big and major that he was lacking in his life. And Christ is going to point this out. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, And he said to him, Which ones? And again, Christ points out some commandments that have to do with treating one another fairly and ethically. Jesus said, verse 18, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And verse 19, You shall honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice that important connection here that Christ makes between that fifth commandment, honoring your father and mother, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Honoring parents and loving neighbor, a very important connection. And serving one another as part of that. Then the young man said to him in verse 20, All these things I have kept from my youth. You know, I've kept all these commandments. What do I still lack? Christ knew that he lacked something. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, you know, you want to enter into life, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Go serve your fellow man. You know, there's people out there that need your help. And you can go sell what you have, and you can help them. You can serve them. And then you will be following me on your way to eternal life. What this man lacked was actually doing something for someone else. He really had not learned what it is to love your neighbor by serving them. Doing something for your neighbor. And that can be practiced not only with our neighbor, but in our family relationships as well. Serving one another. By practicing this principle, serving and loving neighbor, we are fulfilling the application of having learned the principle of honoring father and mother. So very, very important. And the third way to fulfill this fifth commandment, serving one another in love in that way. I want to finish the sermon today with a prophecy of what needs to be fulfilled in the family relationship before Jesus Christ returns. And you probably know this section of scripture that I'm going to turn to. I can remember this being quoted when I was just a youngster in the church back in the 60s. And I'm talking about Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Again, let's go back to the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, this time to chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 4 through 6. This particular prophecy is talking about a restoration of the family relationship. Malachi chapter 4, beginning in verse number 4, starts out with this word remember, reflect upon, keep it in your life. Remember, verse 4, the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb at Mount Sinai for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Then we come to this prophecy, which begins with this word, behold, which is there to get our attention. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Verse number 6 here is talking about a restoration of respect in the family, which stems from the fifth commandment and teaching it. The restoration of the family relationship. Here it says in verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. John the Baptist fulfilled this prophecy in the first time that Jesus Christ came to this earth. But there's another Elijah preparing the way for Christ's second coming. And that is the work of the church. The work of the church to be that Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. A restoration of respect in the family. And this has to be restored first in order to have a society on the right track and to have peace and order in God's kingdom. And this needs to be and has to be shown in the church, and it has to be taught. And that's our part, to begin to practice and fulfill this fifth commandment and to be able to understand and teach it. In conclusion, we can be lights to the world by practicing the principles and applying the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, through, first of all, loving obedience to God, and also to parents. Secondly, by humility, showing that humility to others, being humble to receive that honor. And thirdly, service not only we show to our parents, but also extending that to our fellow man. This has to be understood and taught to have a better world. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, is a building block for a strong, godly society, both today and tomorrow in God's kingdom. Let's work on understanding, applying, and teaching this vital commandment each and every day of our lives, in our example, and also to understand it, to be able to teach it in the future. Look forward to fellowshipping with many of you in the graduate reception for Patrick after services. It'll be very, very nice.